I'm here at the Oiled Wildlife Recovery Centre with Colin Miskelly, who is the curator of terrestrial vertebrates from Te Papa. Now, this is not your natural habitat. You're usually down in Wellington. Tell us why you've decided to come up here to the Oiled Wildlife Recovery Unit.
Well, when we heard that this major oil spill was happening and was going to be impacting on wildlife, we offered specialist seabird identification skills. There's a big veterinary team here, mainly from Massey University, who are very good at determining causes of death and knowing what samples to collect, etc. But they're dealing with quite a range of species. There's a lot of different seabird species in the Bay of Plenty. And particularly once they're covered with oil, they don't look anything like what they're in the field guides or, you know, people's recollections of what they should look like when they're healthy and happy. And so that's something that the Te Papa bird team can offer, is because of our knowledge of bird structure and function and shape, just clues from, you know, relative lengths of body parts when they're completely gunked up with oil can give us an idea to what they are. And so we've just been working through all of the oiled birds coming in and identifying them so the vet team can then decide which ones need to be sampled.
Mm. So what birds have you been seeing? We were talking before about there seems to be a lot of certain species and not very many of other types. So what are you seeing a lot of?
Right, we've processed close on 400 individuals of about 20 different species so far. And there are three that are numerically way ahead of all the others, and that's the common diving petrel. We've had over 100 of them, fluttering shearwater and buller's shearwater, and both of those we've had 60 or 70 of each of those. So all of the other species are in relatively low numbers, and it's quite interesting just looking at the mix of species in relation to their lifestyles, you know, which ones are at risk. And it seems to be those seabirds that feed in coastal waters mainly from the surface are the ones that are getting most impacted. Whereas, for example, we haven't had any gulls or terns yet, and even though they share the environment because they are much more aerial feeders, they don't settle on the sea surface as much. They're possibly avoiding the slicks and just not coming to grief the way the shearwaters and diving petrels are.
So in terms of the impact on those species then that you're seeing a lot of, obviously it's a tragedy in itself to see all those dead birds coming in covered in oil.
Yeah, well, every individual, of course, you know, these are long-lived birds in the normal course of events. You know, some shearwaters will be 20, 30 years old. They may not breed until they're 5 years old. And they have very slow life cycles. They only lay one egg per annum, maximum. And you know, obviously a percentage of those would not make it even in the natural events. But with an event of this scale, it's probably going to take those populations decades to rebuild to these sort of numbers. And so I think that's a reality, is that some of these species, the numbers that will be back out there in the Bay of Plenty after the oil is gone will be way lower, and it will take them a long time to recover. Now, a lot of these species are dealing with other threats at their breeding sites. Introduced rats is one issue that these species are highly vulnerable to. And so their number of breeding locations has declined over time as rats and stoats and other predators have got to various sites. So the colonies now are probably way smaller than they used to be, and their ability to recover from an event like this, it just means that, you know, it's going to be a long, slow process before we'll get back to the size of the populations that would have been in the Bay of Plenty before the oil hit.
Is there any particular species that you're concerned about, any endangered species from that list?
Of the ones that have had large numbers come in, no, they're not particularly endangered. But for example, the buller's shearwaters only breed on the Poor Nights off Tutukaka. That's their sole breeding population worldwide. Very big numbers there, possibly as many as a million pairs, certainly hundreds of thousands on those islands. So they're not a threatened species, but we know quite precisely that the birds that are being impacted by this spill have come from the Poor Nights Islands Nature Reserve. There are others that have more dispersed breeding colonies, but the species that we are most concerned about so far haven't been impacted. And so they are things like the black petrels, which breed on Great Barrier Island mainly, with a few on Little Barrier, Pycroft's petrels, that has its centre of distribution on the Mercury Islands, Cook's petrel on Little Barrier. None of those have come up yet, but they would be species that if, for example, the oil shifted offshore into the more pelagic waters that they use, they might be affected. But we may not even know then, because they are pelagic birds. That impact will be happening tens or hundreds of kilometres offshore. They may not even wash up on the shore. So the ones that are coming in tend to be the coastal species, and they're the ones you'd expect to see between here and Astrolabe Reef where the ship is wrecked.
So it sounds like the teams that are going out during the day to collect the birds, it sounds like you've got your work cut out. It sounds like there's quite a lot of birds coming in, but also that that's really just the tip of the iceberg in terms of what's going to come in and what would already
I'm
be out
sure
there.
That's the case. You know, that we don't really know what the task is in front of us even for today. We've got sacks and sacks of birds waiting to process, and we don't know until we open a sack whether it's got one big bird. We've had two albatrosses so far, a couple of giant petrels. You know, they're big birds that probably weigh 100 times or more some of the other species. And even the ones that are heavily coated in oil are much, much heavier and bulkier than they usually are. And so we're dealing with big, solid masses of really thick tar-like oil. Mm. It's quite a task. Sometimes even just prising the birds apart, we get a great sodden mat of tar. Mm. And we're putting a lot of effort into peel them apart so we can then start identifying the individuals and add to the tally.
And why is that important? What do you kind of hope to achieve? I know that the vets are working to recover the animals that come in that have a chance of survival, and lucky you, you've got the dead ones.
The key point is if we can correctly identify them and figure out the numbers of birds that are known to have died, then you can get an idea of which populations have been impacted. And so if you've got incorrect identifications or just generic identifications, you don't really know whether any of the local breeding populations have been severely impacted. This is the core data that will be used to, I suppose, model the impacts of what the wreck has, or the spill has been. And it will give us an initial indication of whether there are some species that we should be alarmed about, and if there's potential mitigation that comes out of this, whether, which species have been impacted at a population level and should be the focus of any mitigation effort. And, if you haven't got good identifications to underlie that argument, you're really clutching at straws.
Mm. And what do you hope comes out of that? I mean, you're talking about mitigation. Do you have any plans for how TPAPA will get involved in that in the future?
It comes down to what species have been affected. But if there are species that have got other threats to them, and that could include things like fisheries bycatch, then this is just another negative impact on their population. Mm. And so you might be able to look at ways to ease some of the other pressures. If it's at the breeding sites, that's often reasonably easy. It could be as something like a rat eradication, but a lot of those have already been done. But if it's things like gill netting pressure for some of these surface feeding shearwaters, then that could be part of the package that's looked at, as if they've been severely impacted by this event, is whether we should look at ways to ease off other negative impacts to try and rebuild the populations
and to give them a fighting chance after this has compounded all the threats that are already endangering them. That's wonderful. Thank you very much for your time.